Part 2.
Hi, listeners. It's been a little while in between episodes of this podcast, so thank you for listening in today and bearing with me. I had a cold for a while there, so my voice sounded very different, and I decided not to record anything at that stage. And then I just got busy with work and other aspects of life, and so it's now back onto the Rock Curator. In this episode, I'll be covering the first half of the year still, even though we've now progressed into early October. Hopefully you listened to the previous episode, which was a review of the first half of the year, and I'm continuing that in this session. One band whose output I've enjoyed for a dozen years is Manchester Orchestra. No, they're not from Manchester, and no, they're not an orchestra. Their style is described as indie rock. They can rock out at times, but are more masters of understated, quiet tunes in recent times. Their sixth album, titled The Million Masks of God, was released on April the 30th. It charted at number 34 in the US, and its best chart performance was number 22 in, you guessed it, Scotland. They don't strike me as a band that would outwardly chase chart success. They've built up a loyal following over the years and are a great live act. They have a Metacritic score of 81 from 12 reviews, indicating universal acclaim, and that is the highest score we have so far from this list. I highly recommend giving it a listen. A couple of albums I really want to have a listen to but haven't found time yet are from Toto's Steve Lukather and Joseph Williams, who released solo albums simultaneously on February 26, 2021. Lukather's is titled I Found the Sun Again, and Williams is Denizen Tenant. That's a hard one to say, Denizen Tenant. Lukather's album came in at number 19 on the Ultimate Classic Rock list, and the author of this part of the article published on July 16, Corey Irwin, wrote, "A combination of original material and cover songs, Steve Lukather offered up a little bit of everything with his ninth solo LP, I Found the Sun Again. The singer and guitarist, best known as the sole continuous founding member of Toto, channeled some of the band's famous jazz-inspired sound on the track Serpent Soul. Still, much of the album strayed from that particular brand of rock. Instead, Lukather delivered an eclectic LP featuring moody grooves, heavy-handed rockers, and even a soaring instrumental. Adding to the album were some of the musician's famous friends, including Toto bandmates Joseph Williams and David Paich, and Beatle Ringo Starr. One band that I've been promoting heavily for the last year or more, and who seem to be liked by nearly everyone I've mentioned them to, is Dirty Honey. Dirty Honey is from Los Angeles and formed in 2017. Their self-titled extended play was self-released in March 2019. The single, When I'm Gone, topped the Billboard Mainstream Rock Songs chart, making them the first unsigned band to ever top the chart. They released a studio album, which is also self-titled, on April 23 this year. I love the album, but I do have a complaint. It's too damn short. Clocking in at 29 minutes and 38 seconds, it is two songs short of a full album by my reckoning, and I would have loved 10 tracks instead of 8. I'm loving their work so far, and the highlight of the album for me is the first track, California Dreamin', which was released as the first single and reached number 12 on the mainstream rock songs chart. I'd love to see them live, and they recently played with Joyous Wolf, more on them shortly, and are about to play with Mammoth WVH. These shows will be great double bills. I feel like I'm a bit conflicted about this next album. It's probably my favourite album of the year so far, but I'm not sure that it classifies as a rock record. It is Wolf Alice's Blue Weekend. This is their third album, and I would say that they started as a rock band on album one, but this album is perhaps more alternative indie pop with a couple of rock tracks. What a tremendous album, though. Ellie Rousel has one of the most versatile voices I've heard, and the tunes are beautifully performed and produced and wide-ranging. It was a critical and commercial success. It has been nominated for the prestigious Mercury Prize, which is awarded for best album released in the United Kingdom by a British or Irish act each year. It has a fantastic score of 91 on Metacritic, which makes it one of the highest-ranking albums released in 2021. It topped the charts in the UK and Scotland, and peaked at number 3 in Ireland and number 9 in Australia. In the UK, it went straight in at number 1 on the official albums chart. It overtook Royal Blood to claim the biggest opening week for British act in 2021 so far. Their previous albums, My Love Is Cool, 2015, and Visions of a Life, 2017, both reached number 2. Have a listen from start to finish and see what you think. Garbage returned with their first new album in 5 years on June the 11th, titled No Gods, No Masters. Quote, "This is our seventh record, the significant numerology of which affected the DNA of its content, the seven virtues, the seven sorrows, and the seven deadly sins," unquote. Singer Shirley Manson explained to Spin magazine in April, describing No Gods, No Masters as, quote, "a critique of the rise of capitalist short-sightedness, racism, sexism, and misogyny across the world," unquote. As you can reasonably expect from that description, the album has quite an angry tone to it, which to me made me feel like I would need to be in the right headspace to listen to it. The title track, which is the second last song on the album, and the closer, This City Will Kill You, are the two standout tracks for me, meaning that the album finishes incredibly strongly, but some of the first half of the album hasn't grabbed me on initial listens. Maybe one to give a few more spins and perhaps a reappraisal later on. It has a very solid 77 on Metacritic, and charted well, reaching number 2 in Scotland, the birthplace of Shirley Manson, number 5 in both Australia and the UK, and number 33 in the US. An album that I haven't had a chance to listen to in full yet, but I'm really looking forward to doing so, is by Canadian duo The Blue Stones, and it's titled Hidden Gems. If you'd like to check them out, I recommend Shaking Off the Rust, which reached number 1 on the Canadian rock charts, Let It Ride, which reached number 2, or the most recent release, Spirit. As I mentioned at the outset of this half-year summary, there has been a lot of rock music released this year and a large number have charted well, particularly in the UK and Australia. So let's cover off in a few areas in a concise manner, verbal dot points if you will. Here's an area I've titled Artists That Featured on the Ultimate Classic Rock List mentioned throughout these podcasts that you may be interested in. Nancy Wilson of Heart fame was equal 20th. Styx, with their first new album in 4 years and only second in the last 16 years, was equal 14th. Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top was number 9, and while we're at it, valet to Billy's bandmate Dusty Hill, who sadly passed away recently. And at number 1 on this list was the Black Keys with Delta Cream, which is technically a blues album as it features covers of blues songs. Genres are getting harder to define each year. Speaking of which, it's sometimes hard to define rock and metal and their multiple subgenres, so here's a list of albums that charted well that are rock, metal, or a close cousin of these. Architects, whose album For Those That Wish to Exist topped the charts in the UK and Australia. Mogwai, who also topped the British charts. Dead Daisies, who continue to churn through the members as a musical collective rather than a band, apart from mainstay David Lowy of the Lowy family business empire. His father Frank is a co-founder of Westfield Corporation. US punk rockers Rise Against returned with Nowhere Generation, which reached number 4 in Australia, number 19 in the UK, number 39 in the US, and had 4 other top 10 placings around the world. Also returning with their first album in almost 9 years was The Offspring, with Let the Bad Times Roll, which did very well for them with no less than 10 top 10 placings, including topping the charts in New Zealand and Austria, number 2 in Australia, and number 3 in the UK. Again proving that it is the toughest place for rock to crack at the moment, it peaked at number 27 in the US. A title here of Albums That Haven't Crossed My Path Yet. Fear Factory, Aggression Continuum. Gotta say, that's a cool title. Miles Kennedy, lead singer for Alter Bridge and for Slash's solo work. His album, Ides of March, which has received some very good reviews. And another album which has received some good reviews is the self-titled Smith Kotzen album, with the Smith being Adrian Smith of Iron Maiden and Richie Kotzen, who has been a member of Poison, Mr. Big and others. Releases to check out, some of which have already been released in the second half of the year. Waves, Hideaway, which came out on July 16, and that's Waves with 2 V's. A fun project from the Foo Fighters called The DGs. Dave Grohl, see what he did there, covering Bee Gees and Andy Gibb songs for half an album, and then the other half is the Foos performing tracks from their Medicine at Midnight album live in the studio. Another fun rocking act, Gypsy Pistoleros, has an album out now titled The Mescalito Vampires. The Gypsy Pistoleros are described, possibly by themselves, as the world's greatest flamenco, sleaze, glam, rock and roll band ever. Filter has a new album titled Murica coming out sometime soon. Iron Maiden released a new single in July titled The Writing on the Wall, much to the excitement of their dedicated fanbase, and the video notched up almost 10 million views in 4 weeks. It was followed by an album, Senjutsu, on September the 3rd. Inhaler from Ireland, who feature Bono from U2's son, Elijah Hewson, released their debut album, It Won't Always Be Like This, on July 9, and it raced straight to the top of the UK charts. Honorary Aussies, Kiwi rockers Shehad have a new album titled Old Gods coming out soon. And finally, one of my favourite new bands, Joyous Wolf, has released a great new single, Fearless. Check it out. I'm hoping their debut album is not too far away. As this podcast took a while to prepare, there's also some news of some other great new albums coming out. Biffy Clyro has a new album coming out on October 22, and Mastodon has a new album out on October 29, both of which I've pre-ordered. Unfortunately, due to COVID, my concert year has been very much spoiled again, and I was looking forward in November to seeing Guns N' Roses Not Once But Twice on the Gold Coast and Sydney, and I was also going to see Kiss in Melbourne. Both of those tours have been postponed to next year. Kiss has been postponed until March, and Guns N' Roses postponed by a year, back to November. So it's coming up towards 2 years since I saw a concert, and I'm getting some cabin fever not being able to travel interstate and go and watch concerts. But hopefully 2022, those tours will go ahead, along with some others that have been postponed and some more new ones. Well, hopefully I've given you plenty of information to whet your appetite about some releases in 2021. You may have been listening to some of these already, but you may also find some others to go and listen to after listening to this episode or the previous one. What have you really enjoyed this year? Have I mentioned it in these podcasts, or do you have some recommendations for me? Let me know over at the website, therockcurator.com, where there is a section for you to do both those things. I'm always keen to check out acts I may not know, or to get your opinion on artists that I may have mentioned, so let me know what your favourite is so far this year. As mentioned earlier, my clubhouse leader for Rock Album of the Year is Mammoth WVH, and overall album of the year is Wolf Alice's Blue Weekend. Since I prepared the last podcast, there is now another new album that has entered the mix for album of the year, and that is Turnstile's album Glow On, which is fantastic. I recommend checking that out as well. I hope there's plenty of great new rock music between now and the end of the year, and I look forward to discussing it with you. While you're on the website, you can check out the show notes for each podcast. It will take you straight to the official videos for the songs used in that episode, my Instagram shots, previous episodes, and in the future, some great rock merch. Bye for now, and thanks very much for listening.